All right, here we are, after show. I feel like at this point, I want to have, you know, we got like the music for the Monday show. Mm. I feel like we should make a, like an intro for the after show, like a cool little soundbite intro bit, but it has to be different. I reckon it has to be different. Maybe do something.
Well, if you guys want a song, you should send in song ideas.
Ooh, that'd be good. Maybe DM us like your top five, we'll distill down the top five songs. We'll take a riff from those five songs, and then we'll do like a little, maybe like a little song.
Big choice, because you hear that song a lot of times.
Mm. Mm. It's a good song, good track. Yeah, so we'll do one for the after show.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Be a little intro, be sick. As always, guys, we're here today to just talk about shit. No, it's not true. We've got listener questions, but I thought I'd give people a little update on the training. How the training's going, because it's getting closer to the date. July 9th is when we're testing our training goal. It's really different now because I feel like I'm in more of your shoes this time, because I'm trying for an Olympic lifting goal, and you're just trying for like a conditioning goal. I mean, we didn't really both set that, but what I found is as you get closer to the date, the injury, like the joint pain, it just...
It's an exponential increase.
Dude, it goes up so much. Exponential. Because you're doing such light technique-based work at the start, and it's perfect, right? Yeah. You're doing everything. But now it's hit a point where I just know I have to put the weight up.
Got to lift heavy.
Like, I'm about to try and go for 160. Yeah. I gotta put some heavy weight on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And so, if you guys listening to this, just follow us or whatever, you might know this, but I was in Melbourne on the weekend. Former guest of the show, Danny Kennedy, a fitness podcaster from Australia in Melbourne. He invited me on his show. So I went on, I think it's called the Health and Lifestyle Podcast, or the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. But if you just Google him, Danny Kennedy, we talked about CrossFit, because his audience is a lot of females who just kind of come from the world of, I guess, people that are interested in just green shakes and glute bridges. I don't know. As primarily female.
Yeah.
All trying to, you know, look better and feel better and stuff, which is, you know, a lot of people. And I thought it would be interesting to bring on essentially what was the biggest fitness movement of our generation, which is CrossFit, right? And you guys know our opinions and thoughts on it and how we've evolved with it over time. But I wanted to go on his show and speak to his audience about some of the misconceptions, because he has a lot of misconceptions about it. So he would say, oh, I think it's like this. What can you explain? And my experience with it has been this, and my mind has changed about these things with it. So like one of the things that he brought up about CrossFit, which I thought was interesting, is he was really against it in the beginning, but then he was quite pro CrossFit, because what he noticed was a lot of the really poor gyms closed down and a lot of good coaches started stepping up and putting out much better information. And he started following some of them and he was like, oh, wow, this has actually improved a lot since what I saw. And I think it was cool because I was able to speak to a more Gen Pop public sort of audience and give them kind of what we've seen on our end and how it goes down, obviously being in it for so long. So that was a really cool opportunity. I have no idea why I brought him up, but yeah, go listen to that show.
We were talking about our goals.
So I had to lift it at his gym. And
You were lifting there?
Yeah, I had to hit. And
they brought weightlifting.
Well, sort of. So this is the whole thing, right? So it's the Melbourne Aquatic Centre. So it's like it's got the basketball court, it's got the Commonwealth Games, swimming pool. It's a council run facility. It's run by the local government, and he works at that gym, so I had to lift there. And it has bumper plates, it has good bars, it has lifting platforms, and two of the platforms were taken, but they're not like hardcore lifting platforms. Mm. It's like a bit of rubber with a bit of wood. And it's starting to ramp up. I'm needing to do singles at 140. And I didn't tell him that because, you know, don't really go up to someone and start telling them how much weight you're going to lift, right? You're just like, dude, I got to do some heavy lifting today. And like he used to do hang cleans for basketball, and I think he was probably thinking more like, you know, 60, 70 kilos, because he started doing 50 kilos on the bar. I was like, can I drop in here? He's like, dude, of course, just drop weight here. It's not an issue. I'm like, oh, we're on the first floor. I'm like, I don't really think like it's going to go down very well. And so I start warming up. And I started ramping up pretty quickly, and I put 100 on the bar and smoked 100, and I dropped it kind of like from the hip on the way down, and everyone in the gym looked at me because I wasn't on the platform at this point because the platforms are taken, and he just kind of looked at me and the whole gym shook. and all the people turn around. And it's just, you know, it's like aquatic center. So it's a mixed crowd. There's like a lot of old people there. Some people who look like the first time at the gym. And like, there's just complete shock. Like even some of the staff members like lean their head out the door. Like, what the fuck was that? Do we just put a hole through the floor?
The explanation I have to give people when I'm like about to actually drop weights at a gym for people that have never done CrossFit or something is like so thorough.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, so I can drop weights. Like, yeah, man, drop them. Like, and they're thinking 18 kilo dumbbells after chest flies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, no, no. I'm going to like load up heaps of plates on this bar and I'm going to drop it. They're like, yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're thinking. They're like thinking like deadlifts. I'm like, no. Okay, so it's going to be like over my head, so high off the ground.
It's going to be a natural disaster.
It's so heavy and it's going to drop and like this gym, this whole gym, the infrastructure, everything is going to feel like it's crumbling. And they're like, no.
So I drop it and then it kind of looks at me, this look like, can we just like not do that? And then so I'm like, all right, we'll wait. And then like, right as that was happening, I the platform freed up. So I walked over to the platform and I started loading up like 120, 130. And then I got to 140 and he's like, hey, I'm going to film this. I was like, all right, cool. It's like, I don't think this shit's gone down in here before. And I felt better because I could drop it properly now. And I was dropping it and it wasn't making as much, wasn't doing as much noise. So it was a lot better. And so I ended up hitting all my singles. But why I originally started this was because I pulled the 140. And I guess you're in a slightly different mindset when your platform is like 2.5 meters by 1 meter. Like it's small. It's not a lot of room for error. You're standing right in front of a rack and you're looking into a mirror.
Mm.
So there's a lot more going on. So your concentration is in different areas. It's still high, but it's in different areas. Mm. And it's hard to... Like 140 is getting up there now and it's hard to kind of get in the zone when I'm in a different environment. And I pulled the first one. It was fine. I was trying to do three, pulled the second one, it was fine. And then for some reason, something happened on the third one. And as I was going up, I pulled it, I caught it and I put it down. And like from fucking, I still saw from like my bottom of my, the bottom rib to like the bottom of my shoulder, that whole lat and all the ribs in there, like destroyed, so sore. I woke up the next day in his house. I couldn't even sit up out of bed. Dude, it felt like...
I swear every time we travel, you get injured.
Man.
Traveling and lifting with you doesn't
work. Crazy.
Well.
I couldn't turn. Spine. I couldn't turn to the... Was it the left? No, I couldn't. Yeah, I could barely turn to the left. And he was watching me mope around his house. And he's like, how bad is that pain? I'm like...
He's like, how bad is that CrossFit thing? Yeah. Like one session?
Tell me about it again.
Can't walk. He's like, is this standard? Standard results?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe I just wasn't... I don't know.
But
whatever
it
was.
What you're saying, is, I definitely agree. I have a rule that for weightlifting movements at a Globo gym, 10%.
Mm.
Everything is 10% heavier.
Didn't follow
that. I don't know what it is. It's something to do with the mirrors and like the... Just like the environment. When
yeah.
you're in a CrossFit style gym or like... Maybe weightlifting gym, but my experience like CrossFit style gyms, we got the floor, there's no mirrors, just feels good. You got chalk, everything.
Got more room around you, so you feel a bit safer.
You just feel good, and in a Globo gym, always 10% heavier.
Yeah,
always. Not the case at all for squats and bench. I think I've squat in a Globo gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Headphones on, you can kill it.
It's Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah, it's something about Olympic weightlifting. Is just I respect those Globo gym warriors because it's really tough.
You know what I think it was? It was when I was setting up. I was looking at the mirror and. I was slightly shifted in my setup.
Mm.
So I could see a bit more space between my left hip than my right hip. And so I corrected it by shifting more over to my left side. And I think what happened was maybe I was always doing that slightly to my right and that's what I was strong at. And I corrected it, but I shouldn't have because I put myself in a more compromised position under extremely heavy load.
Yeah.
And that correction that I made, even though it was really small at the start, I wouldn't have seen that if I wasn't lifting in front of a mirror. And therefore, I tried to correct it and I made, obviously put some error down the chain that ended up pulling like half my rib muscles on my left side. So, point is, it's gone. It's just gone as expected.
Mm.
I'm getting injured and I'm lifting heavier as most things, as happens with most things as intensity picks up. But how's your training going?
Yeah, it's going really good actually. I've noticed that my weight has come down a bit. So, I think I need to make a bigger effort to make sure I'm eating enough. Come down to like 82. I was like 84.
How much are you like really focusing on it?
I'm training pretty hard for this.
I mean like
on my
food,
eating.
Yeah.
Really not great.
It's hard, eh? Finding it hard eating at the moment.
Yeah. Like I've got my food actually really dialed in at the moment through the meal delivery because I've gone up eating two meals a day. Like I have my breakfast plan, my lunch and like afternoon tea plan every single day. So I have got that dialed in. I think I just felt like, oh, I wasn't doing that much CrossFit stuff. I can just eat a bit less. And I think I just missed the mark a little bit on that. So I think bike takes
Where did you take out food?
Well, I was eating like up to like 380 grams, 390 grams of carbs. And now I'm like, oh, I'm not doing as much CrossFit stuff, just mostly bike and bodybuilding. So I eat like 250 a day.
Right.
240. And that was the main difference to my overall calories.
Oh, so you dropped it by 100.
Yeah, I dropped by 100. I think that's been a mistake.
Where did you take it out?
The meal delivery doesn't have as much carbs
as
the meals I was making. They're like 50, 60 grams of carbs each.
Yeah.
So I basically just took them out of that. Each one was like 60 grams of carbs less than what I was eating before. So it ended up being like 110, 120 less. That needs to come back up because one trend I have noticed is a lot of people have taken the liberty, thank you very much, of just messaging me that the fact that they've done 200 calories on 10 minutes. I guess it's kind of motivational.
Oh, right.
But everyone that has messaged me is like considerably heavier than I am. So if anyone is like under 82 kilos and has done it, please message me because I think it's going to give me some motivation to know I can do it. But yeah, I think I'm pretty close. Like I'm getting able to hold 20 calories a minute now for like 3-4 minutes without my world ending. So I kind of am getting a bit closer. But my strategy is going to be just 4 times on the bike a week. Now till then, keep it going.
What is it at the moment? 3.
Is it 3?
Okay.
Now I told Star, I was like, I'm gonna go 4 times a week. Don't really get injured. Your quads do get, my knees and quads have got a little bit tight, I think, from all the biking, and I have noticed that a bit. So I just have to take better care of it. But it's been really fun.
Are you doing heart rate? You got your heart rate?
No, I really don't like heart rate.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of nasal.
No, I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, just maybe tracking it or whatever.
Nah, just like, I don't know. I really don't like heart rate. I just find it, like, so unpredictable and, like, just gets in my head and all I end up doing is checking my heart rate.
Right.
It's, like, just not great.
Yeah.
So, I've been much more just working on just, like, rate of perceived exertion for sessions and doing a lot of the nasal breathing stuff.
Yeah, sick. All right, let's jump into some listener questions. We'll keep you guys in the loop as we close in on the 100-day goal. If you guys are interested, or if you've never heard of that, it's called the Training Journal. TrainingJournalBook.com. What's our code? MMP20?
MMP20, yeah. You get 20% off.
Yeah. Oh, we also have put up a deal for gym owners. If you guys own a gym and you want to increase your retention, then best thing you can do is go to, man, did we make a page for it?
TheTrainingJournalBook.com.
No, yeah. But did we make a page for, I think we... The box?
Yeah, you can get the box. You can get the 20-pack there.
Okay, you get the box as a gym owner. I know some gym owners have asked us if they do bulk discounts for their members, which we do. You just have to go and check the box, which Raph's going to figure out for you.
Exactly,
I think it ends up being like half price a journal. So if you're interested in that, it's somewhere on that website.
And now actually is a perfect time because it's about that sort of length till the open. So I find the way I've used it really successfully at our gym is just members that are like, oh, we want to do better in the open, we want to do this, we want to do that. It's like, okay, well, hold yourself accountable, set a 100-day goal for the open and track your way there. That's a pretty fun way to go about it.
Yeah. Okay. First question comes from Charlie58. Thoughts on Ellie from the Mayhem team testing positive. Is it too small to matter? Now, I did read something very briefly on it, just to give you guys a bit of an update. We still follow some of the CrossFit stuff, but we're not super up to date on it anymore, but... we get sent stuff all the time.
It's just that so many people test positive these days. It's like a full-time job.
Dude, it's impossible to keep track of. And so I think basically what happened was the Mayhem team, which is Froning's team, they were in Iceland or something, or they were training overseas somewhere, and they ate something, and there was incredibly small amounts. I think you test positive... It was 50 times under.
Yeah, she got 100 picograms, which is apparently 50 times less than the threshold looked at in testing.
Right. And it was for clenbuterol, I believe. Yeah. Which is an extremely effective anabolic steroid. It's used...
3 times Tour de France winner Alberto uses it. That's a great testimony.
Alberto Contador?
Clearly gets results.
Yeah. And there was one of the boxers just got caught for it recently. Is it on there?
It says Canelo Alvarez.
Alvarez.
That's a boxer?
Yeah. Yeah, if any boxing fans just heard you say that, like, they'll be spewing right now.
So I thought it was a CrossFitter.
Canelo Alvarez. He could probably do CrossFit. So look, I think there's just, if you guys know, if you're listening to this, you're in Australia. Ricky Garrard's brother Ben qualified again for the games, and he tested positive for the same stuff that his brother tested.
Had he qualified this year for the CrossFit Games?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, through the Open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he tested positive again.
But how he actually tested positive was, from what I heard, he didn't go to the comp. They turned up at his house.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I think a month before the comp, they just turned up randomly at his house and tested him. So
yeah.
I think he was on the hit list.
Yeah. As you could imagine, right? Yeah. I think what the only point that I wanted, because I mean, this show's not about gossip, right? Mm. We're not here to discuss gossip, but what I am probably just want to like make people aware of is that it doesn't matter what these people tell you or who they are necessarily in front of your face, how nice they are, or what kind of personalities they display online. They're like people, just any kinds of person cheat. There's not a, how should I say this? There's not a stereotypical, there's not a generalized personality type of someone who cheats. Anyone can cheat and anyone has cheated in the past, you know? Could come out that Roger Federer took heaps of steroids and like, he's got...
Didn't work very well. It's very skinny.
He's got one of the best personalities in sport. Okay, I shouldn't probably throw Roger under the bus, but...
Hypothetical.
But it could be anyone, right? Yeah. And people love Lance Armstrong. He created an entire charity that donates to cancer research. And that people shouldn't take away from that. There's crazy people in the world that cheat, and then there's humble people in the world that cheat, and there's nice and there's bad people. And cheating goes across all things, because when money is on the line, when people's families, when people's future, when potential success is on the line, anyone will take an opportunity to get a leg up. And whether these, in the case of Ben Garrard, obviously it's, they have a family history of steroid use, and they've used steroids for a very long time, or SARMs, and they're just going to continue to do that. They just feel like they need that to get the leg up, and they're cheaters. And so they want to continue to cheat. And the way they justify it to themselves is probably everyone else is doing it. And they're probably correct. There's a lot of other athletes out there they're competing against that are also using it. Shouldn't justify the reason that you use it for. But I guess the point is, even with this mayhem chick, whether she tests, whether it's, you know, it was tainted or whatever in the food, it can be anyone. No one's safe. Like no one, you shouldn't look at anyone in sport and be like, oh, they would never do that. It's just not true. You would be surprised. You'd be surprised at like how many people that you would think is a cheater that aren't cheaters as well. Like it swings the other way. So
absolutely,
it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I've learned that lesson. Even just some people we know getting caught is like, I definitely know for sure I don't have an ability to tell if someone is cheating or not. And you feel like you often do, and you only need to get wrong a couple times, you realize like, man, it's so weird. Like, yeah, it's got nothing to do if they're like polite to people on the street, or no, just polite to you and you introduce them to you, or even like, I mean, even stuff that you think would correlate, like having good standards in a workout, like even that doesn't really even seem to correlate. It's not like the cheaters are also cheating in workouts, and they're also like, you've seen them kind of cheat.
No, yeah, like, oh right, yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
even that doesn't even seem to correlate that, no, well. Like it's not even like they're cheating here, which you would think would correlate,
because yeah,
they're cheaters,
yeah,
but it doesn't. Yeah, it's incredibly confusing. It's just like random people end up getting caught. So yeah, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's sport. There's money on the line. There's glory to be won. There's success to be had. The same way that, you know, you go into a day of business and you take
beta blockers.
You don't get tested in business. Mm. You know what I mean? But you're like, all right, I'm going to take this mushroom powder and like this nootropic and this much coffee because it makes me this much more productive. It's going to get me ahead of my competition. It's going to, you know, serve my business better, make me more money. You take any edge you can. That's just how humans are wired. There's an opportunity to take an edge, you will. That's just how it goes.
So hilarious, the mixed messaging now that somebody gets on the outside of CrossFit, because on the page, it's like 80-year-old women doing rows with milk bottles.
The page doesn't exist anymore, but yeah, continue.
So on their website that they have. And then the next article, it's like, athlete testing positive for clenbuterol. It's just so confusing.
Yeah.
Like, just the stage they're at is... Someone must look at it and be like, how did we get here?
That's a fucking weird stage. It's weirder than it's ever been, that's for sure. All right, next question is from Fill My Glass. Long time listener.
Good handle.
For stair running events, so one of them would be like race to the top of the Empire State Building, for example, take the stairs.
That'd be rough.
Single step or double step?
Great question. You clearly never raced upstairs. Definitely double step.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. One thing I will actually mention, which is maybe interesting.
They're asking for advice as to, I thought they were hosting the event and they said, should we make the rule every step or double step? But you're saying how you should run it.
Yeah. Obviously the fastest way up is double
multiple
step.
Multiple steps. Yeah.
I would say that from, I think like what will give you the best burn, double step is like a better workout.
Mm.
And I think you'll get less tripping with double step as well.
A lot more concentration mentally every step.
Mm. So I think maybe that is your ideal. And also I think single step's so slow.
Yeah.
It's not that exciting. Like slow movement is not that exciting. I don't know if this helps answer your question, but one good technique I did learn doing the swim run from a more experienced competitor is if you ever have a race where you have to go downstairs, all the experienced competitors run downstairs on a 45-degree angle.
Mm.
So you don't run straight down the stairs, you run 45 degrees. And that like really did decrease how much I like sounds like falling over going down the stairs.
It's because you put more of your foot on the step as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I didn't think about it. Yeah, I guess you get more of your foot on. It just, as soon as you do it, you realize how much faster and safer it is. So, yeah, if that's part of your race, 45-degree angle.
Would you do that going up the stairs?
No, that would be retarded.
Well, you want your toes are your balance point, right?
Yeah,
your toes are your anchor.
I think you're driving
so you want to like make sure that that definitely plants every time. Whereas if you plant the heel 90 degrees to the step, then there's a chance your toes will spill over the edge. Mm. And that's what you don't want. So that's why you turn to 45 to make sure your forefoot is on the ground of the step. I'll give you a little story. So we used to have a member at the gym. She was extremely good at step ups, like crazy good. Dude, she was insane at step ups. Yeah, like it was just the weirdest thing to be good at, but she was just killer at step ups. And she was really short.
It's a strange talent in life, but everyone's got talents.
Yeah. And she worked in the city. She was in corporate. And every year they have this like stair climb race.
That's sick.
Yeah. And it's like to the top of this building. And the prize was $5,000. Yeah, to the winner. So she came in and she was like, all I'm doing this week is step ups.
Mm.
And she was telling me, she's like, yeah, I'm like, I call air bike into like step ups, like high fatigue.
Yeah.
The workout. Conditioning into just like heaps of step ups. And she was just like super confident she could win it. Like people at the office were like, you got this. Like you can win. Like you're so good at step ups. You're so fit. And she was really short. And so she decided to do every step. Because two steps would be too much because it's like too big of a step for her.
Yeah.
And anyway, so she said, because it was like 3-2-1 go, and they started like a minute apart from different people, and she felt like she was winning the whole time because she passed so many people on the stairs, she said, and no one passed her, so she was like, I think that I'm probably gonna win this, and I think only maybe like 20 or 30 people from the office did it, and she lost in the end to a guy who was 6'8" rower, ex university rower, and he was taking like 4 to 5 steps at a time. And he ended up passing her like right at the top, like 2 flights from the top. And I think that the lesson there is she was like, I got so fatigued mentally. She's like, I was getting dizzy from looking at the steps so often and having to concentrate on not missing a step. And she said she saw this guy and he would just look up the stairs and just charge up like with his long ass legs. But he was still probably overstriding to what she could do. But I think that maybe taking like 4 to 5 steps total per staircase instead of like 20, 15 to 20, in the end, it's just more effective, even if it's more fatiguing.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I did rowing, we did heaps of stair runs, like 3 days a week.
She was cut, by the way.
Laid him stairs. And exactly what you said, we used to take massive steps. We would fly up like 3 or 4 steps at a time. And what we always found was the key is having one hand on the railing.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure if there's a railing or not.
One hand on the railing, and I think that stops you having to look at the stairs. You always got your balance. You got one hand, and you can just rip in.
Yeah. But by law, they got to have railings, right?
There's always railings.
So there's always railings.
Always railings.
Unless you're in some fucked up,
chalk up dilapidated your hands, building. Get on that railing.
Okay, so last question. Where did I put it? This is a long one. This is from a few weeks ago. I really want to get to this one. So thank you for sending this very comprehensive question in as soon as I find it. Okay, here we go. It is from, you're kidding me? A big question asker. Loves his questions. As CrossFit and high intensity training created so many injuries and imbalances, probably address that first part, where will the fitness industry go next? Will there be less of a focus on a smashing yourself and performance training and more on pain management, self-recovery, mobilization, physical therapy / chiro work, etc.? So I guess like the rehabilitation side of things, have we already seen a trend play out and be exhausted, or is there more room for it? I think when he talks about the trend, he's talking about the CrossFit high intensity training movement. So let's address the first part of the question. CrossFit and high intensity training creating so many injuries and imbalances. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, definitely not true. If I look at my personal situation, I didn't get many injuries from CrossFit, even though I did a lot of it, but I did get some. I think what most people would say is some of the most severe imbalances anybody's ever seen from it. Because out of fairness, I didn't come in the sport with many imbalances.
What were your lower? Because people don't know, like, you have no lower traps. Did you have lower traps going into it?
That was always a thing. Yeah. So that was a thing playing rugby, but I did have a chest before starting CrossFit. So I did come out with some. I probably came in with like maybe
came in with two pecs, maybe left with none.
Three out of ten imbalances, and probably left with 8 to 9 out of 10. But I've just generally been pretty resilient with injuries. Like I never had. I've always been pretty good, just not getting injured. So I didn't get many injuries.
You had the knee surgery.
Yeah, did have a knee surgery almost straight away. Actually, it's funny. Yeah, like almost immediately, I got my worst injury with CrossFit.
Is it in your onboarding?
Yeah, my onboarding was a savage onboarding.
Yeah, it's like max.
It's basically straight into the open. So I think I'm on that end of it. But I don't think it's fair to say like everybody gets those sort of imbalances.
I would say that if anything, CrossFit fixed more imbalances than it created.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Because everyone was just doing isolation. Yeah. They were just on machines doing retarded shit. They had the worst forward shoulder position ever. They couldn't lock their elbows out and they couldn't press their arms overhead. CrossFit basically made shoulder flexion mainstream. They made locking your elbows out and pushing your head through at the top. They made that mainstream. Like before that, everyone was happy just to press that bar like out in front of them. Like
45 degrees was a strict press.
Yeah. Like there was no standard there. And it also brought in, I would say, like the need to stabilize your core properly with a lot of other movements. Like before CrossFit, everyone thought about core as like abs, like sit-ups and crunches and like leg raises and stuff. And it still is primarily like the main core exercise in the global gym, but people started thinking about core as something that could stabilize the rest of your body. So it's like squeeze your butt, you know, pull your ribs down, take a breath in, like brace through your stomach. That wasn't like, you never heard that in a gym. Like that wasn't a thing. Even when you were squatting and deadlifting, people were just like flat back, you know, like neutral spine or whatever. So it fixed, I would say it made people think of their core and their bracing a lot differently. That was probably a really big thing.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, my perspective on this is that I see people that have done CrossFit and have left and like had a pretty big injury and they leave. And people would look at that and say, oh, well, that's such a massive failure from CrossFit. Like, look at this guy's injured now. And he had like a pretty serious injury, like a torn shoulder or something. But on the other hand, you know, they often leave with such a perspective on the things they need to work on. You know, they walk into CrossFit like, oh, I'm sweet. And they don't realize that they're actually a train wreck.
Mm.
And that in 25 years, like, they're going to have just such bad, horrific posture and, like, probably get hip replacements and all this stuff. And then they do CrossFit and it like, accelerates that awakening.
Mm.
Whereas you might have realized you've lost your flexibility when you're 60 and you can, like, barely get something out of the cupboard. You realize it when you're 24 because you can't do, like, a heavy snatch in barefoot. And then you do pick up an injury, but injuries get better eventually, most of them. And often, I really do find it leaves people with this everlasting perspective of like, man, I need to like maintain my movement, maintain my flexibility. And like, I realize that I do have tight shoulders and it's something I got to work on. My ankles are really stiff and I got to maybe get some more barefoot shoes. And they might leave with an injury, but that'll get better. But they do often leave with a whole new perspective on how to, they need to take care of themselves long term.
Yeah.
Because they're like, fuck, I'm only like 31 and I'm like so stiff.
Yeah.
And it really sets them on this path. Like, I don't want this to be so bad when I'm 50.
Yeah.
And the ones that never got into CrossFit or something like CrossFit are just totally blind.
So the next part of the question says, that was a good answer. The next part of the question says, will there be less of a focus on smashing yourself and performance training or add more on pain management, self-recovery, mobilization? Look, here's the reality. The reality is the general public don't give a fuck about that stuff, right? They just want to be able to lose fat, build muscle, majority of people, and feel better, right? We've talked about this before on the business show. Now, how the market sells them that, right, will always be cheap, easy, and fast, right? Because that is the best and fastest way that companies can make money off them.
Yeah.
So, if you think that the fad of group training and high-intensity training is going to go away and be replaced by something that is more long-term, more sustainable, more relationship-based, more expensive, like you're just kidding yourself, because companies are trying to make money as quickly as possible and as much money as possible. And how they're going to, that's not going to happen if, you know, a gym only makes 5 to 10 sales a month, but keeps the clients forever. It just doesn't, it's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. I feel like someone would have invested it by now, but where is all the investment money going? It's going in like Rumble Boxing. We saw that new boxing fad today. It's going in like Orange Theory. Mm. It's going in the next commercial fitness chain, Virgin Active or whatever. It's just up to the independent gym owner out there to make as big a difference as they can in their facility and educate their local community. And that is the impact that you have. I think that with this day and age, everyone is trying to impact the world, right? They're trying to impact everything on a global scale, and that you often look past your local community and you probably don't place as much importance on how much changing one life can make a difference, how much just educating one family on how to eat better and prevent their kids from having diabetes and prevent, you know, high blood pressure in the family and you know, potential cardiac issues in the future with their parents and a lifestyle diseases that, you know, you wouldn't have fixed otherwise. Like that, that is a huge impact. You've helped people in a massive way there. You don't have to, just because you didn't impact 1,000 people and you impacted 50, doesn't make you worse, right? It's just, I don't want people to look past that fact, because if more people are focusing on making a bigger difference to less people, then overall, we're going to help more people, because trying to scale everything right now and trying to make things fast and quick and cheap, it's obviously not working. Yeah. There's a huge health epidemic. Having more gyms out there isn't going to make that much of a difference. So in terms of, is it going to shift to more pain management, self-recovery, mobilization? Not likely. It's that stuff's always going to be there. It's always going to help out. But how that gets implemented in gyms and how that gets implemented to the public, I think it's just going to take a, I don't know, it's going to maybe come through an app or some piece of technology or come through the government somehow. I'm not sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah, it seems very unlikely. Because that sort of stuff gets so blown out of the water in the marketing by something that's like crazy and fun and sexy. If I was to look at, like, I think what's coming, I do think that a lot of these more like challenge type things are going to get more and more popular. Because I think there's so much people these days are like, man, I want something like hard and challenging in my life. Kind of like the Tough Mudders and stuff like that. And like, you can see how many shows are on Netflix now. People are running like ultra marathons, 100 marathons, all this stuff. Right. People get so inspired by that stuff. And CrossFit Comps was like kind of one small scale on it. But I think making those challenges more accessible is going to happen.
Like Spartan Race and stuff as well.
Like, yeah. It's even the same with, you know, all that like Wim Hof stuff. People just want something that sounds really hard. And like getting in an ice bucket just sounds crazy hard and uncomfortable.
Mm.
And I even say that myself. You know, it's like when you start to not have a sport anymore, you're like, oh man, am I turning into a pussy? Do I need to like sign up for some shit that's really hard? So I do think those things are going to come around a lot, and probably, you know, businesses around the side of those things will pop up as well, training people for that.
And yeah, people want the struggle, right? They want to feel like they've overcome some really difficult adversity.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, what I see for the future is the education for the trainers coming into the industry becoming a lot better. I don't think necessarily the business models or the gyms themselves will get dramatically different. I think the business models for gyms, although it's fairly early days still, you're still limited by four walls, right? You're still limited by how many people can fit into a certain amount of space and the kind of things that the human body can do. You know, if you're getting more and more advanced with the stuff that they can do, then you can only put less people in the class. It takes longer to teach them, right? So you only have two legs and two arms, right? You can only do certain, really, the public can only do a certain amount of movements. And we're simplifying that as much as possible. So from where I see it, unless we get some new advancement in biotechnology or something like that, I just imagine with four walls and, you know, two arms and two legs, there's only going to be a certain amount of training or style of training that people can do. And we're starting to hit that limit is what I see. In terms of like the new gyms coming out, they just look like smaller variations, or they just look like small variations on what already exists, versus when CrossFit came out, it was dramatically different change, to the commercial fitness. But now, because we've just tried and...
It's incremental changes.
Yeah, it's just like smaller and smaller tweaks, and it's changing less and less. And a lot of the same equipment is appearing in these gyms. So you're not really getting like a huge revolution like there will be. So where I see the biggest changes becoming is PT education. And honestly, where I hope they're coming in. And I've even spoken to people, and we've talked about this on the show before, is that that is what's happening. People are coming in to a gym, and the base level of what a trainer comes in at now and where they're going to be in 6 months is higher. It's not dramatically higher yet, but it's definitely higher. They come in with more skills, a better understanding of rehab, better understanding of nutrition, psychology, just all these small things. It's still got a long way to go, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's still terrible in many senses. However, I think more good minds and with the help of technology, it's going to be better schools, better funding in the area of fitness education, especially as we move towards preventative medicine. People are getting, big pharma's getting more and more negative exposure, negative publicity. What's the next thing is prevention, right? Rather than chasing the cure. So, sorry, chasing the symptom with the cure. So it'll be interesting. That's where I hope it goes, and that's hopefully where it goes next.
Well, the gym on that I would love to see. I don't think it exists yet. It's the one where you walk in. First thing they do is like take a needle, take your blood test, and they're like, cool, we've got your bloods, got like your genes here on file, and like this is the best thing for you to do straight away. So it's like you track this through the app, put on this like wearable technology, it's like taking your HRV and your heart rate and shit, and they like know everything about you in like the first 48 hours you're part of the gym. And then it like prints out like the ultimate training and diet program based off your genetics and your current recovery and everything like that. And it all gets delivered through some sort of like app or something like that. I would love some sort of physical gym that is at that level, where it's like individualized off your current state and the genes you're working with, and it gives you like the ultimate prescriptions.
Be interesting. Speaking of technology, True Coach. Yeah, we think that a lot of the future is going to be in individualized training and delivered via some piece of technology, because people are lending themselves more and more to convenience, right? Think about it. Netflix, Stan, Uber Eats, like people are moving less and they want more convenience. Like people get
frustrated. Your gym's 6 minutes away? What?
Yeah, just crazy.
What? Bring that gym to me.
Yeah. So people are really suffering from just patience, right? Just being able to...
Time poor.
Yeah, like it's crazy. So I think that something like... what I like so much about True Coach and why I think that I would encourage a lot of gyms and athletes to start using is because I think that we're going to move more towards online programming. And it's not that the coaching part won't exist. It'll still exist, but it will just exist more online. And then learning the actual movement part, you'll see a lot more... you see a lot more movement demos, a lot more movement videos, a lot more coaching delivered online for people to think about. And then if you do still need coaching in person, you know, maybe the app in the future will say like, here's like a True Coach certified trainer at these local gyms around you. You can go there and get trained up. But in terms of what you can do with it right now, I think that it's just a great way to give clients that extra, you know, offering. That's what I would be giving to clients, especially if they choose to leave the gym, if you want to keep programming for them, if you want to keep your coaches programming for them, you need something like True Coach, because it can still handle, it's going to, in the future, it's going to handle payments. But also it's just the easiest way to deliver online programming on a daily basis. And there's so much accountability around that. Like just knowing, we talked about this, right? Just knowing that your coach sees your scores going in, whether they comment on every day or not is one thing, but just knowing that it's there for them to see just holds you that much more accountable. So if you guys aren't using True Coach yet, I just recommend getting it for sure. Like just, it's one of those things where you got to get it and just play around with it, right? And just see how it plays out.
If you work at a gym and you email people like pull up extras, you have to give this a go.
Yeah.
You just have to give this a go, because I can't describe how much better it is than that until you get it.
Yeah, put all your spreadsheets and all your PDFs into this app. It's going to save you a lot of time. So truecoach.co/MMP, and you guys can get a discount on that. So truecoach.co.
Free trial and then a discount MMP. For the first month.
Yeah, such a good deal. Go check that out. All right, we have a movie recommendation for you guys this week. Let's give the floor to Mr. Will Smith.
I am going to tell you about the most incredible place. And you know what? You're walking on it.
So, he's the man. So, One Strange Rock. It's a Netflix series about Earth. The episode I would recommend watching first is episode 3, I think. It's about the sun.
About the sun. We've both watched that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've watched the first 3.5 episodes, and it is by Nat Geo, obviously, so you know there's money behind it. Definitely one of the coolest Earth documentaries we've ever watched. It's so the whole thing is they get 7 astronauts, I think, or 8 astronauts, and between them they've spent over 1,000 days in space, and it's really cool because they take the topic, say, like of the sun in one of the episodes, and they talk about, you know, they kind of break down how it affects the Earth. And the astronauts comment on these certain topics that they bring up, but from their perspective out in space, which is like completely mind-blowing, right? Like one of them, for example, he's like, have you ever thought about it? But what blew my mind the most is like when I saw the sun against a black background. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like that would be crazy, you know, because whenever you see the sun, it's in a blue background.
I guess it's like see the sun at night, like the moon.
Yeah. Mm. Like, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. So that was just like one example of the different perspectives you get, which I think kind of add that extra element to this documentary that hasn't really ever been done before. It's like having astronauts speak about it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And I think particularly, I never studied this stuff much in high school. Like, it was never like the subjects I enjoyed or anything like that. So I know very little about, I guess, like just how the world works and everything in that way.
Science.
Yeah, all the unimportant stuff. So, but more like around, particularly around the environment in particular. So I found it really, really enjoyable, even though I'm not that interested in that topic. And it gives you a bit more perspective when people talk about like global warming and stuff like that. Like, you learn a bit more about it. And Will Smith is an incredible narrator.
Oh, incredible. I mean, just having Will Smith at the helm of this documentary just, you know, puts it on that extra. It's like kind of like the American David Attenborough, right? It's just the more cool...
The Earth.
Yeah, the cool, suave version of David Attenborough, who is pretty cool and has a bit of swag as well. But, I mean, it's Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of charisma. And he, we always joke about when we're watching this, how... If you got anyone else to read these lines, how ridiculous they would sound, like his one-liners. But anyway, I think what is so nice about this documentary is it just gives you, firstly, a huge appreciation of the Earth and so many things about it that you just would have never known. And there's always cool stuff to learn about. And I think it just gives you a little bit more respect for what's happening because it does deal with some of the climate change issues that we need to be aware of. And since I've started watching it and received a little bit more pressure from my girlfriend to... be a bit more environmentally friendly. I've carried around a glass water bottle, which I use far more regularly now, the Activate Nutrients one. So I want to say, unless I've like sat at a cafe and they've like forced it upon me, I haven't used a plastic bottle at all. And in fact, I really don't want to anymore, which is, you know, a big thing. And I have also carried around with me a keep cup, which is like a little coffee cup that I just put in my bag. And I always use it now. So I very rarely taken away a takeaway coffee. Now, here's the thing, is when you get used to using a water bottle and a takeaway coffee cup, when you don't use it, now it's weird. Like in the beginning, it was weird constantly filling up my water bottle and like constantly carrying, because I was so used to just getting takeaway and water bottles and stuff. And now when it goes and I don't have the cup on me and they give me a takeaway coffee cup, I'm like, oh, do I really want this? Should I opt for like an espresso shot at the bar instead, so I don't use up this plastic or this cup? And same thing, I'm not going to walk into a shop anymore and just get the water. Like, I'm going to look for like a box water option instead. Or if I know I'm not going to be able to get that option, I just don't get the bottled water instead.
Just be dehydrated.
That's right. And I think, I mean, if I'm doing that often... I mean, I feel like I'm making a difference in my life. So it's probably, if everyone just took that approach, it would make a huge difference. And yeah, I mean, I don't know to what extent that would play out, but I know we're extremely fucked when it comes to how much plastic we use. I think we produce in 110 million tons of plastic a year or something at this point. And the plastic, what's it called? The plastic garbage thing that floats in the middle of the Pacific, garbage island or whatever they're calling it.
Hawaii?
No.
That's a place to see, right? Here's a plastic on there. Yeah. So much plastic.
Yeah. No. You know who's responsible for the most plastic waste into pumping plastic into the ocean? It's China.
They got a lot of people. Yeah. Give them a break.
But the US is has one of the lowest.
Wow, really?
Yeah. One of the lowest. They probably just put it back into the water supply or something. But it's 80,000 tons, this plastic thing that's floating in there. It's like two times the size of Texas or something, or the size of Texas. Like, it's insane. But I was reading this article the other day about microplastics in the water. And because there's so much plastic in the water supply, right? There's so much plastic that enters the water supply through the marine animals and the birds and the things that die. And, you know, it's in their guts and they die and it washes into the sea, and just the dumping of plastic into the sea. And also because we have so many biodegradable plastics that break down into really small pieces, but they never go away. They just become smaller and smaller, but they don't disintegrate. That 90% of plastic that's been created since we started creating plastic is still circulating in the environment.
I heard that stat. It's mind-blowing.
Dude, right. And so they reckon that in our water supply of plastics that we're consuming is up to one credit card a week.
Personally?
Personally. Microplastics.
What if I have a water filter?
No. Yeah, so it's in, so you can't filter for it. And it's in all bottled water, so it's in all spring water, and it's in all tap water. So they tested heaps of sources.
I mostly just drink coffee. I barely drink water though, so am I escaping? Is that healthier? Before well, those credit cards are plastic.
They make coffee with water, bro. So direct to you. So they haven't figured out the solution yet, but they also haven't figured out what the long-term health consequences are. Yeah. So they don't want to jump to any like crazy conclusions. They're like, hey, we could just be filtering this through our liver. Like, it's fine, our kidneys, and it might not actually be an issue. But they just want to let people know. Like, that is what some... They reckon that some people... Most people are probably consuming around like half a credit card to a credit card per week.
Well, I don't know if this plays into it, but an interesting stat I did hear from actually Rhonda Patrick was you get rid of 80% of the BPA you consume through your sweat. She was saying how like unhealthy it is to never get drenched in sweat.
Mm.
So getting drenched in sweat very regularly is like the best way to get out of harmful BPAs.
Mm.
So that could be a good thing your training's doing.
Interesting. I love how we turned this into like an Earth Warrior podcast. So One Strange Rock. Very, very good documentary. Mm. Very stimulating documentary. How many episodes? 10?
Yeah. Start with episode 3, Shield. It's about the sun. I don't think it really matters what order you.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
No revealing. Like, no. Oh, we're actually on Mars.
Yeah.
You know what happens in the end. Yeah. You're on Earth and everything's fine.
Yeah.
So definitely go watch. I'm going to give it a... Man, it's really good. 4.5 out of 5.
Ooh. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. All right. Go listen to One Strange Rock.
Netflix.
Will Smith. Netflix. Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode... Not many people screenshot and share the after show, so...
We've been getting some really good ones, though, on the main show.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you for sharing, as always. But yeah, if you guys want to stop right now, take a screenshot of the episode, say you enjoyed it, tag us, post it on your socials.
Say how you're reducing your plastic impact in the world.
Yeah, man, we'd really appreciate that. And as always, we'll see you guys next week.